last name. Is that all right with anybody in here? We just want to dance and clap our hands in Jesus' name. But we're covered by the blood. Hey! We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. Come on and clap your hands.
Clap your hands.
Clap your hands.
Clap your hands.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
All right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all
right. Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Get your Bibles and stand on your feet. Turn them to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. And I want us to look at a couple of verses here and pull our preaching point out for you. 16th chapter, verse 24. And 26. And it says, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Verse 26 says, "At that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We've dealt with this text all day today, and I just want to spotlight and highlight the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in this sermonic presentation for the emphasis of Jesus' name being relevant in the prayer life of the believer today. One of the things that's most important as Jesus is discussing with the disciples the events that will unfold shortly. He's headed for Calvary to give his life a ransom for all mankind, and he's explaining to them the events that shall unfold. But before they unfold, he foretells what's going to happen so that they are not offended because of him. And even when they happen, it will be a confirmation of what he has already told them. One of the things that he does is he gives them the downside of what's going to happen, but then on the other hand, he gives them the upside of what's going to happen. He gives them the gloomy side, but then he turns around and gives them the glorious side. He wants them to understand that regardless of what happens, he's still in control. Now, one of the things that you're going to find is that Jesus is sharing with them the coming of the Holy Ghost and how he cannot come until Jesus leaves. He's making clear that at the end of his ministry marks the beginning of the Holy Ghost's ministry. If you read some of these preceding verses, you will discover that he's giving, again, a description of the actions and or the ambitions of the Holy Ghost to not only show them and share with them the things that he has revealed to the Holy Ghost to do so, but how the Holy Ghost will glorify Jesus and not himself. And he goes on with helping them to understand, again, the events that shall unfold. But what is most particular to interest for us today is how he prepared his disciples to transition in their relationship with him to the Father, how that they would understand that Jesus, whose mission was to come down to planet Earth and to connect man directly with God, he would be the one who would bring man and God together so that man could enter back into a right relationship with the Father. After making this clear, he says to them, listen, there is coming a day, and he says in verse 23, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. In other words, he backs out of the picture and says, when I join you and God together, it's a direct connection. You can talk to him for yourself. Now, he came to remove man from the middle point, the priest who had to go between man and God. He wanted to directly connect man with God so that man didn't have to go through man to get to God. And so in doing this, he wants to make clear that up until this time, you didn't have to pray for anything. One of the reasons you didn't have to pray for anything was because what you were praying for, I already have. Or what you would have been praying for, I already have. What I did was prevented you from having to ask by providing before you ever had a need. Whenever a situation arose, I handled it. So therefore, there was no need for you to pray because you had the source who immediately provided the supply. He says, but I'm going to step off the scene. And when I step off the scene, I want you to know the source is still intact. It's just going to be another process by which you go through now. And look at what he says. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask who? The Father. Listen at this. In my name, he will give it you. Now, Jesus is saying, listen, I know you've got a relationship with me, but my relationship with you was to bring you back into a right relationship with the Father. It doesn't stop with me. It starts with me. Because here he's introducing two additional relationships in a personal way. The relationship with the Father on the one hand and the relationship with the Holy Ghost on the other hand. The Holy Ghost who would now come to earth after Jesus leaves and the Holy Father who sits in heaven. He says, you're going to pray to him directly now, but you're just going to use my name as a source. Now listen at this. He says again, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father. Right there is enough to shout on. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father. Listen to what he says. In my name. He will give it you. Let me give you 3 points about the name, especially in the Eastern culture, and one of the reasons why Jesus says to use his name. First of all, the name always revealed the authority. The authority. Jesus is authorized to deputize you to use his name. In other words, when you say, Father, I need, simply say, Jesus said, it's all right. And I have the authority to allow you to ask for what you will. Can I tell you what it's like? It's like Jesus giving you a check that's pre-signed. And you have not even written in to who it belongs or what the amount is. He just signed the bottom and said, help yourself. There you go. Fill it in. Second thing names represented in the Eastern culture was not only authority, but affluence. And affluence always included influence. And so because he was so affluent, I mean, you got to realize Psalm 24 says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell. How much more affluence can you get? I mean, when all the silver and the gold and the cattle on a thousand, I mean, how much more affluence do you need? And so his name represented, listen, because he was the Son of God. Everything God had belonged to the Son. He said, he's given it to me, and if he's given it to me, I can do what I want with it. Y'all not hearing me here. So not only did it represent authority, and not only did it represent affluence, but thirdly, his name represented access. You've got access to his excess. It ain't hurting him at all to give you everything you need plus what you want. Because he's got an abundance of everything. Matter of fact, whenever there's a shortage of anything, it's always on man's perspective, not on God's provisions. Ain't no shortness on God. Ain't no shortness in God. There is no lack and no slack in what God has. He has more than enough. And here's the good news. Because his name is authoritative, if there is a lack or slack, he can make some more of that. Well, some of y'all must not be connected to who I'm talking about. I can see why you ain't got much joy here. But when you understand what I'm sharing with you, Jesus said, you talk to the Father, but the only way he's going to grant your request is if he use my name. My name is authoritative. My name is affluent. My name gives you access to all of the excess. Listen to that. I ran the reference on this, and it ran me back to Exodus 3 and 13 and 14, where Moses was having a little talk with God. And he said, you've called me, and when I get back in front of your people, and they ask me, who is it that sent me? What am I to tell them? The 14th verse, he said to tell them, I am that I am have sent you. And all I'm trying to tell you is when you run it back up into the New Testament, it's the same reference as of what the Father said in the Old Testament, the Son is saying in the New Testament. When you talk to the Father, tell him, I am sent you. I wish I had a helper in my hand. And all you got to do is call my name, and the Father gets excited when he hears my name. You have the authority, you have the affluence, and you have the access in my name. And some of you won't pray prayers and close them out and don't use the name. You leaving out the best part of your prayer. Lord ain't concerned about all that stuff you asking about. Call the name. He get excited about the name and the stuff just come. I wish I had a witness here. If you ever get excited about the name, you'll find stuff stacked up around your doorstep because he wants you to be connected to the source and not just looking for the supply. Look at Jesus again. Look at you. Verse 23 again, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. This is a promise. It's a promise. This is the Son talking about what the Father will do in his authoritative, affluent name that gives you access. He will. Why will he do it, Jesus? Because I've approved it. Not that you deserve it, or not that I desire you to have it always, but because I approved it. Now, when you say I approved it, what do you mean? It is his word. He's already given us his word of pre-approved blessings. Well, in order to pray a prayer that God is going to answer in the name of Jesus, because I've got news for you, that there is a little condition that you've got to adhere to. You just can't say the name without the name being correctly tied with what he promised. Now, when you use his name, you're going to have to reference what he said. And you can't reference what he said if you don't know the word. So it's important to understand that you can't use the name if you ain't got no claim. I claim him and he claims me. We are in relationship together. So the Father honors my request not because of me, but because of his Son who has claimed me. And understanding that gives me the privilege to use his name authoritatively. You know the story. We reference it so oftentimes. When the seven sons of Sceva tried to use a name they had no relationship with, Jesus. See, I got news for you. Just because you call the name and you have no relationship, you have no claim, you have no stake in him, it doesn't make things automatically. So in God's point, it's got to be a relationship. And that's what Jesus was trying to make clear to them. Listen, you've got relationship with me. If you've got relationship with me, remembering that my mission was to seek and to save that which were lost, to bring mankind back to the right standing with God so that you can have relationship with God. One of the things Jesus was trying to get them to understand is, just like I love you, I need you to know he loves you also. And he loves you so much so that he sent me to get you. Because there was no way you could make it back home because you didn't have directions nor perspective or how to make it back without me. So I came to find you and bring you back to him. And he loved you that much that he sent the only one who could do the job. Now, understand this and keep this clear in your mind as you hear what Jesus is saying historically to the disciples, but this is also for the believer today. In your relationship with Jesus Christ, he has already structured it so with his Father that in his absence, his name would do the very same thing he did when he was present. When he gave Peter that authority, it was the same authority he had. Whatever Jesus spoke and bound on heaven, it was bound in heaven, in earth. And when it was bound on earth, it was bound in heaven. Whatever he loosed in heaven, it was loosed on earth. But whatever he loosed on earth was also loosed up in heaven. Now, when he got ready to leave, before he did leave, he said, Peter, I'm going to give you these keys. Now, here is my point. If I give you the keys to my house, I don't have to be home for you to get in. But because it's my house, I have an alarm system. And even if you had the keys to get in but did not have the ability to decode the alarm, you'd still be in trouble. So here is the point here. He's saying you can pray all you want. That's the key right there. He said, but the code to undo the alarm is my name. And when you do both of them together, then you've got access to my excess. And whatever you want, Listen at this. According to the word, which is the will, which is the way that God wants you to seek him. Listen at this. If the Holy Ghost, who Jesus says will teach you all truth, will guide you into all truth, will say to you what I have told you, then here is again what is conditional, that your prayers must line up with the word. So I can go around all day like the sons of Sceva calling on a name that I have no relationship or calling out of order, and God will not grant that and honor that because it is not done the way it should be done according to the word. Yes, sir. James say, when you ask for whatever it is you want, you've got to believe you've already got it before you open your mouth. He said, you have not because you ask not. He said, but another problem is some folk are asking, but they're asking wrong. They are asking amiss. And amiss is amiss. You catch that on your way home. I don't care what sport you're in, amiss. It could be this close. But you miss like this. Yeah, y'all don't know that. Close you come to it. If it is not on target, you're not gonna get it. And so a whole lot of us don't understand how God wants us to have everything he has described in his word for the believer. And my brothers and sisters, as I bring this to a close, I want you to look again and see what this word says. Verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. And Jesus was referencing again the fact that he was already there. He was their source who provided their supply. So there was no need to pray because he was there already. But he says, ask and ye shall receive. For what purpose? That your joy may be full. I was explaining to the earlier service that your joy is half full because you've got the word or the instructions right here. Praise the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Another way of saying it is the word of the Lord is my strength. And when you understand that your strength in supernatural that materializes in the natural things comes in knowing how to operate, function, and flow in this word. And when you go to God and say, God, you said in your word, you get his attention. Now what did I say? And he hits you, that boy got it there. Oh, she owned that thing. Didn't that what I said? Jesus said, that's what you said, Father. Said, so be it. He loves to say that. But then he must become disturbed when he hear folk praying prayers that don't line up with his word. Prayers of faithlessness. Prayers of hopelessness. Prayers not aligning themselves with the authoritative word of God, the word that is affluent in the kingdom of God, and the word that gives access to what God has for. When they don't pray according to the word, it must bother God. How can you fail an open book test? I mean, it's all right here when you pray according to the way that he said. John says, when I pray and I know that he hears me, I already know I have the petition that I've asked him for even before I pray. That confidence comes in relationship. And you've got to have that relationship. Because it's that relationship that begins to reveal to you through the word of God what God wants for you. And you'll discover you can't even begin to know that he wants so much more than you could ever ask, think, or even imagine. It's his good pleasure to bless you. That's his desire. Matter of fact, he wants you to get so close to him till you don't even have to ask him for stuff. You just start seeking his kingdom and the things that he desires and righteousness. And before you know, he just starts adding stuff. But I got news for you. It ain't junk. It's the stuff other folk are seeking after and searching for and working 3 and 4 jobs to get. All you got to do is stay before his presence and commune with him. And I got news for you. He just opens up the treasure chest and say, help yourself. Matter of fact, what he does is open up his heart, reaches in, then open up your heart and drops in your heart what you ought to desire. And before you know it, you start praying the stuff that God desires for you, and you want what he wants for you, and the other stuff that starts creeping up around your door, you tell them, move on down the street. This belongs to God.
Listen
at these. He says, verse 26, at that day ye shall ask in my name. Here it is again, in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Because when you get to that point there and you connect with the relationship with the Father, I won't need to run interference or run rather in between and be the mediator. You'll be able to connect to him directly. But you're still going to need my name. But here again, he was promoting and refocusing them on the relationship with the Father as he had a relationship with the Father. So he wanted us to have a relationship with the Father. And so he reminded them of who he was and what he did. And then he refocused their faith so that they would be connected to the Father, so that when they would go to the Father, they would understand how much he loves. Do you know how easy it is to ask somebody who loves you for something? Yeah. How many times have you gone to somebody, you wasn't quite sure they loved you, and you wanted to ask them a sudden, and you looked at their face? Don't worry about it. That's all. What? No, that's all right. No, what is it? No, nothing. What? Then you start making up some. Well, I just wanted to say, because you still ain't going to ask them, you know. But when you know your loving Heavenly Father wants to bless you with the best that heaven has to offer, beginning with Jesus Christ, there is nothing else he will withhold from you. Especially if you walk up rightly before him. Listen to this as I close. So when Jesus tells him, verse 27, for the Father himself loveth you because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. You see, in other words, Jesus says, now you have believed the message. You have partaken of or partook of the ministry. Now I'm about to complete the mission, and you believe me. And because you do, you will honor God, our Father, who will honor you because you have honored me. And to know, my brothers and sisters, the power that's in his name and all that we have by way of authority, affluence, and access should totally renovate the way many of us have prayed in the past. No longer should a New Testament Bible reading and believing saint pray a prayer that sounds remotely like, Lord, if it be your will. Because if you read the word enough, you will discover what his will. And when you pray according to his will, according to his word, then you know what it is, and you have every right to expect what he says to come to pass as you attach your faith to the written word, which the Spirit quickens and makes a live word in you. And so you begin to pray authoritatively. Lord, you said in your word that such and such and such is mine. I believe by faith it is. I call those things that be not as though they were. I'm not standing on hoping and wishing and maybe and praying. I thank you for what you're going to get because it's already mine. I'm asking because you told me to ask, to release it from my mouth, to let it get into the atmosphere so the Holy Ghost can take my